నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. So we're continuing our reading from the fourth chapter of the sixth canto, which is entitled the Hunksagoya Prayers. Today's text is a double verse 27-28. A long set of synonyms, which I think we'll skip, and there's a very, very long purport, which some speakers like to read a little bit and comment, read a little more and comment. I prefer to just read Prabhupada's purport in toto, so we can get an idea of what Prabhupada is saying. And then as much time is left over, that's what we'll use for discussion. So I believe the first verse is on the board, right? Manishino antar vridi saniveshitam swashaktibhir navavish cha trivridpi vanim yata dharani panchadashyam manishaya nishkarshanti Gudham Manishinantar Hidi Sanniveshitam Swashaktibir Navabhishcha Trivridbhi Vaninyata Dharani Panchadashyam Manishaya Nishkarshanti Gudham Manishinantar Hidi Sanniveshitam Swashaktibir Navabhishcha Trividbhi Vaninyata Dharani Panchadashyam Manishaya Nishkarshanti Gudham Manishinantar Hidi Sanniveshitam Swashaktibir Navabhishcha Trividbhi Vaninyata Dharani Panchadashyam Manishaya Nishkarshanti Gudham. Please chant. Navavishcha Trividbhi Vaninyata Dharani Panchadashyam Manishaya Nishkarshanti Gudham Manishinanta Vidhi Sanniveshitam Swashaktibir Navabhishcha Trividbhi Vaninyata Dharani Panchadashyam Manishaya Nishkarshanti Gudham Manishinantar Hidi Sanniveshitam Swashaktibir Navabhishcha Trividbhi Vaninyata Dharani Panchadashyam Manishaya Nishkarshanti Gudam. Vaishnavis. Sashakti Navavishya Trividhi. Panchadashyam Manishaya Nishkarsha Antigodham. Manishinantar Hidisannivesitam. Sashaktibir Navabhisha Trividbhi. Vaninyata Dharani Panchadashyam. Manishaya Nishkarshanti Godham. So I'll read the next verse and then the entire translation. Savai Mama Shesha Vishesha Maya Nisheda Nirvana Shukana Bhutihi. Sasarvanama Satcha Vishvarupa Prasidatam Aniruktatma Shaktihi. And the list of synonyms is just too long. We'll skip that today and go right to the translation, which is also very long. So Srila Prabhupada's translation, just as great learned brahmanas who are expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices can extract the fire dormant within wooden fuel by chanting the 15 Samidhani mantras, thus proving the efficacy of the Vedic mantras, so those who are actually advanced in consciousness, in other words, those who are Krishna conscious, can find the Supersoul, who by his own spiritual potency is situated within the heart. The heart is covered by the three modes of material nature and the nine material elements: material nature, the total material energy, the ego, the mind, and the five objects of sense gratification. And also by the five material elements and the 10 senses. These 27 elements constitute the external energy of the Lord. Great yogis meditate upon the Lord, who is situated as the Supersoul, Paramatma, within the core of the heart. May that Supersoul be pleased with me. The Supersoul is realized when one is eager for liberation from the unlimited varieties of material life. One actually attains such liberation when he engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and realizes the Lord because of his attitude of service. The Lord may be addressed by various spiritual names which are inconceivable to the material senses. When will that Supreme Personality of Godhead be pleased with me? So Daksha is continuing his beautiful prayers to the Lord to assist him in performing a service, and now we hear Srila Prabhupada's purport to these two verses. In his commentary to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses the word durvigayam, which means very difficult to realize. The pure stage of existence is described in Bhagavad Gita, wherein Krishna says, esham tantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanda moha nirmukta bhajante mam durida vrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha durida vrataha namashyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead after transcending all material impediments. Therefore, Lord Krishna also says in the Gita, Manusha nam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tattvatah. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. To understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must undergo severe penances and austerities. But since the path of devotional service is perfect, by following this process, one can very easily come to the spiritual platform and understand the Lord. This too is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, wherein Krishna says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yava nyashasmi tattvataha tato mam tattvato gyatva vishate taranantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, although the subject matter is durvigayam, extremely difficult to understand, it becomes easy if one follows the prescribed method. Coming in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is possible through pure devotional service, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 8, Text 5. Parishta Karnarandrena Swanam Bhava Sororuham. The process of hearing and chanting enters the core of the heart, and in this way one becomes a pure devotee. By continuing this process, one comes to the stage of transcendental love, and then he appreciates the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, a pure devotee, by devotional service, is able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead despite many material impediments, which are all various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Easily making his way through these impediments, a devotee comes directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After all, the material impediments described in these verses are but various energies of the Lord. When a devotee is eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he prays to the Lord, Ayinanda tanuja kinkaram patitang mahavisham eva vambado, kripayata vapada pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms of your lotus feet. Being pleased with the devotee, the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes a verse from the Vishnu Purana. Hladini sandini samvit twayeka sarvasangstito hladatapakari mishra twayino gunavarjate. In the material world, the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested as tapakari, which means causing miseries. Everyone hankers for happiness, but although happiness originally comes from the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the material world, because of material activities, the material potency of the Lord becomes a source of miseries. Lada tapakari. False happiness in the material world is a source of distress. But when one's endeavors for happiness are redirected toward the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this tapakari element of misery is vanquished. An example given in this connection is that extracting fire from wood is certainly difficult, but when the fire comes out, it burns the wood to ashes. In other words, experiencing the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely difficult for those devoid of devotional service. But everything becomes easier for a devotee, and thus he can very easily meet the Supreme Lord. Here, the prayers say that the form of the Lord is beyond the jurisdiction of material form and is therefore inconceivable. A devotee prays, however, My Lord, be pleased with me so that I may very easily see your transcendental form and potency. Non-devotees try to understand the Supreme Brahman by discussions of neti-neti, nisheda nirvana sukhanubhuti. A devotee, however, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord avoids such laborious speculations and realizes the existence of the Lord very easily. Wow, what a purport. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paschachadeshtarane Om Agyanata Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unminitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. So, here Daksha is setting a very good example that we should never think that, Daksha was a highly qualified individual, not an ordinary person. You don't get to be a prajapati, progenitor of zillions of living entities in this material world unless you're highly qualified, just like you don't get to be Lord Brahma, unless you're the most pious living entity in the universe. And it's such an important post that if there is no one qualified, then Krishna himself, by his expansion, will take that post. Yet these highly qualified individuals, they show by their example that one should never feel oneself qualified. that, oh, I'm so experienced and I have so much knowledge and this and that, therefore I just give me the job and I'll go do it. No. Even these highly qualified personalities, such as Lord Brahma and here Daksha, they pray to the Lord to give them the potency, to give them the direction by which they can accomplish the assigned task. So, very, very good example. Now, in his purport, Prabhupada starts out by saying, because Daksha referenced in his prayer that one has to come in contact with the Super Soul. The Super Soul obviously is the knower of everything. So if you have contact with someone who knows everything, then what do you need to worry about? That person can tell you at every moment exactly what to do and what not to do, so you can achieve your task without any problems. So this is the point. So Prabhupada starts out by saying that yes, one has to come in contact with the Super Soul, and for the devotee it's not so difficult. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, Krishna gives some preliminary indication of how one can come in contact with the Super Soul. Very important verse, and the purport is also extremely important. He says, Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samavita. Sitosha sukado dukeshu etamano pamanayo. That for one who has conquered the mind, the Super Soul is already reached because he has attained tranquility. So very important points there. To come in contact with the Super Soul, because actually you could say everyone is in contact with the Super Soul. Everyone from in the heart is getting instruction what to do and what not to do. But to get the kind of instruction that will liberate us from material entanglement, one has to first control the mind. Prabhupada says in that purport that when one controls the mind by any of the yoga processes, then one can be said to have achieved the destination. Because this is the first real achievement, thing that we need to achieve, is to come in contact, full contact with the Super Soul, so that we hear clearly what Krishna is instructing. But how do we know? It's not that we all walk around saying, well, you know, I have control of my mind and whatever I hear is Shastra. No, it has to be confirmed by Shastra, by Guru, and by the sadhus. So it's not that I'm just listening to my own mind, my own heart, and whatever is there, that's what I'll do. No, it has to be confirmed. We see, again, that even the pure souls, the advanced souls, they take directions, just like the Prachetans. They took directions from their father, King Prachina Bharisha, to go and perform austerities so they could become qualified to rule the world. So they did that. On the way, they met Lord Shiva, who gave them a set of beautiful prayers to recite. And they took that to heart. After coming out of the water, the trees had overrun the land. They became very upset, and they started burning down the trees. And then, who came? Soma, the god of the moon, came and asked them to cease and desist. Again, they took instruction from higher authority. So this again is the example. At every step of the way, we have to take instruction from higher authority. We should never feel that I'm so advanced that I don't need to consult with anybody. I don't have any higher. My guru is not on the planet anymore. So whatever I think is, no, it's not like that. Srila Prabhupada himself showed that he had taken to heart the mission of his guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but still at every step he was contacting his god brothers and trying to work with them and consulting like that. We should never feel ourselves independent. We don't need anybody else's advice. We don't need to consult the Shastra. No, all these things are there and we should always do that. So to come in contact with the Super Soul, one has to control the mind. And when one does that, then Krishna says you attain tranquility. What are the symptoms of somebody who has controlled the mind and is therefore in touch with the Super Soul? There are some symptoms. Sitosha sukadukeshu. Heat and cold, happiness and stress, honor and dishonor, these things don't faze such a person. And for us, what that means practically is that it does not prevent us from engaging in our prescribed duties. Every one of us has some prescribed duties that we have to perform coming down. When I joined in New York, we were told immediately that when you get some assignment from the temple commander, you should think that it was given to you by Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada is Krishna's representative, so you should see that it's coming from Krishna. Don't think that because you're asked to wash the pot, that this is just somebody's speculation, and therefore you should think of some other duty to perform. No. Whatever duty is handed down, it's coming down in the cyclic succession through Krishna's representative, and therefore we accept that it's coming from Krishna himself. And knowing that Krishna is all-knowing and all-seeing, we feel confident that Krishna will always assign me to the duty that he wants me to perform. Not that, oh my God, they've given me pots to wash, I'm going to be washing pots for the rest of my life. And no, Krishna knows what your abilities are. He sees your situation, knows your heart, and we should be confident that Krishna will direct us to the right service for us that He wants us to perform. Not necessarily the right service according to my abilities at any given point in time. Not that, oh, listen, Prabhu, I'm an accountant. Just give me bookkeeping to do and that's it. And no. You may be the most qualified accountant or the most qualified book distributor or the most qualified manager. But whatever assignment you're given at a particular moment, that's what you should do. You should take it that is coming from Krishna. If you feel that, hey, this whole scene is out of control, then you're not seeing things properly. Just as here Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, that even when calamities come, the devotees are not fazed because they see calamities as another energy of Krishna. That was a very interesting statement Prabhupada made, that these calamities are another energy of Krishna. Just like now, there are so many calamities in the world. The world is practically falling apart before our very eyes, literally and figuratively. Like in Japan, this huge earthquake followed by tsunami. You know, so but the devotees should see that these are energies of Krishna and not be fazed, continue with their devotional activities. But other people, they're so foolish. Either they blame God, or how could God let this happen? My mother or father passed away or whatever. You know, no, it's an energy of God. They're going to die anyway by some means. It's not that if they die in their sleep at 100 and that's okay. But if they get swept away by a tsunami, that's horrible. Death is horrible, no matter how it comes. It's foreign to the living entity. Its entire material existence is an upside down situation. Krishna says in the 15th chapter that it's just like when the land is reflected in water, you see the trees are upside down. Everything is upside down in this material world. And Prabhupada made a very interesting comparison. He said, your personal existence is also upside down. It's just like if somebody were to grab you by your ankles and hold you upside down. Would you be comfortable? No. And it wouldn't matter what somebody came and gave you or, you know, promised you, you'd be uncomfortable until you were turned again right side up. So being in this material world means our entire existence is upside down and we can never be comfortable here. We're in an upside down situation. In certain industries, just like I was in the car industry for a while, so when you lease a car, it gets to a point where you owe more money than the car is worth. So this is also called upside down. You're in an upside down situation. You owe more than the value of the vehicle. So our entire existence is like that because most of us in this material world, our pious credits are minuscule compared to the impiety that we have to burn off. Because at every moment we're generating more and more negative karma. Just by breathing, so many living entities are being killed. By eating, by drinking water, by lighting fire. So every day, relentlessly, we're piling up more and more negative karma, more and more. And very little pious for the majority of us. Some people, you know, the proper karma kandis, they live life in such a way that they pile up a good stock of pious credits. But for the general population, they're piling up way more negative karma than they are positive karma. Huh? So that's also another form of upside down. So this entire material existence, we're in an upside down situation. That's why we can never be comfortable. It's not that, you know, if everything is adjusted nicely, they have the nice home, the nice car, the nice... Just like this morning, I was saying to a few devotees who are here from Mauritius that I was just reading that in Mauritius, in spite of the fact that it's a small country with not a lot of natural resources, they have free education all the way up to university level. They have free medical care. So I'm asking them, I said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? But that's the situation in the material world. You may be living in paradise, but you always hanker for something else. It's a beautiful country, Mauritius, natural beauty. And they have apparently got it together. You know, the government at least is giving the citizens this much care. But still, people want to leave. I was born in Jamaica, beautiful island. Still, we all wanted to leave. Doesn't matter what your situation is materially, you always want something else. You can never be satisfied here. Because it's not our home. It's not the place where we can be satisfied. So coming in touch with the super soul means coming in touch with real knowledge. Krishna has kind of left behind him, as Prabhupada said, this Bhagavad Gita for us to understand. And there's Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of the Lord. And then the Lord's devotees come and give further explanation. And still, we remain enamored. Foolishly, we want to stay here. Just like, again, yesterday, the tsunami, it's a really, really far out phenomenon, how these waves, they travel as fast as a jetliner, 600 miles an hour. So like within 5 hours they hit Hawaii, and then yesterday afternoon they were hitting here on the West Coast. 7,000 miles away they were hitting the West Coast of the United States. And now some foolish individuals went down to the coast to take pictures of the tsunami waves. And five of them got swept away. See how foolish. There's warning. Tsunami's coming. Don't go there. Everybody evacuate. No, I want to go see. I want to take pictures. So five of them got swept away. Isn't it how foolish we are? Four of them were rescued and one they haven't found yet. So this is our situation. We're so foolish. There's dire warning. This material world is not a nice place, especially in Kali Yuga. Everything falls apart. The government is, you know, full of thieves and rascals. We see this all around the world. And therefore the people want them to leave, get out. But because they're also rascals, they don't know how to put a proper leader there. So they just replace one rascal with another rascal, one rascal system with another rascal system. And they extract all the oil out of the earth. Prabhupada said once, he asked the devotees, what is it that keeps an airplane in the sky? And the devotees were, you know, cogitating, oh, the shape of the wings. And the Prabhupada said, no, the fuel. You take the fuel out and the plane will come down. So it's the same thing with the earth. It's full of this fuel and you keep taking it out. What do you think is going to happen? A lot of these calamities are based on all the stuff that they're extracting from the earth, unnecessarily. Unnecessarily. There was no necessity to extract those fossil fuels. For thousands of years, people were living on this planet without extracting those fossil fuels. They were growing some, you know, mustard and turning mustard seeds into oil and burning lamps like that. No necessity. And then when they take it out, just like now in our New Vrindavan in West Virginia, there's fracking. They go there with these machines and they force pressurized, you know, water into the land so they can extract this gas that's there. And then, lo and behold, what happens when they do this fracking? In places that never had earthquakes, like around Oklahoma, Texas, now they're having earthquakes. And they wonder, why? Well, where's this coming from? So, we're so foolish. We come up with all these methods that we think are going to make us happy. And the sad thing is that they waste the vast majority of the oil that they extract. When you think of all the fuel that's wasted and, you know, monster truck racing, you know, dirt bike racing and people just cruising around the streets for no reason. The vast majority of the oil that's extracted is wasted anyway. So we're so foolish. We're so foolish. We ruin our own existence and then we want and then we blame God. My God, why can't you do this? God, please do that. How could you, if there was a God, how could he let this happen? We're doing it. And Krishna says that in the 13th chapter. That the miseries of the living entity are caused by the living entity themselves. Huh? Karna karna karchate, hetur prakriti uchate. Purushak sukaduka anam, Krishna says. You think you're Purusha, that you're the enjoyer and controller, but the sukha and the dukkha that you're experiencing in this material world are caused by you, by your activities. So, it's very, very important for us to really, really study Prabhupada's books, so that we can set the example of intelligent existence in this material world. And Prabhupada says, if you want to really be in touch with the super soul, if you really want to progress in life, then you simply have to chant this Hare Krishna mantra. We all know it, but do we do it? Personally, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for decades, and I can't say that I've come to the goal of chanting, which is to experience the original love of God that's there in all of our hearts. So, why not? This is what we should be asking ourselves every day. When we finish our rounds, when we finish attending kirtans, have I ever revived my love for Krishna? And if I can honestly say no, then I have to really be serious. Because time is short. This time, the West Coast of America experienced just a little bit, 5 to 8 foot waves came, and it caused so much damage, millions of dollars of damage further up the coast. Huh? San Jose and places like that, whole marinas get, you know, destroyed just by 5 to 8 foot waves. So we shouldn't feel so comfortable here in LA. My wife was asking me, do you think a tsunami could reach all the way up here? Why not? It's Krishna's energy. Krishna can do anything he wants. He could send a wall of water so big that all of LA's downtown gets knocked down. It's really, really amazing when you see the video from this, because it's one of the first times, if not the first time, where there were helicopters in position to watch this phenomenon unfolding. The tsunami wiping out these Japanese coastal villages and cities. So we should be in awe of Krishna's power. You know, we fall asleep sometimes thinking, everything's all right, you know, I'll just jump in my car. You don't have time. Japan had a very, very, the best early warning system for earthquakes and tsunamis. The sirens sounded it immediately. But within a few seconds. So we should not sit around trying to dream of comfortable situations in this material world. It is not the place to become materially comfortable. We should, especially those of us my age and older, definitely now is the point to get very, very serious about executing Krishna consciousness for our own benefit and for the benefit of everyone else. These festivals that we put on are very, very important. I have 100 college students coming that day, next, you know, for Gaur Purnima. So this is what we should do. By putting on festivals, by Harinam, by distribution of books, we should be very, very serious about spreading this knowledge, because people are in dire need. They don't understand when the inevitable calamities come. They don't understand. And foolishly, demonically, they blame God. Whereas the devotees, just like Kunti, and I'll end here, we know Kunti's prayer. Vipadakshanta taksaswa, tatra tatra jagaguru, bhavatak darshanak yasad, apunar bhavadarshanam. Kunti's praying, let the calamities come again and again. Because by experiencing these calamities, we get to see you again and again. And by seeing you, we don't see repeated birth and death anymore. Apunar bhavadarshanam. So this is the point. Devotees are not fazed by so-called calamities, because we always feel that Krishna is there. In her case, she was seeing Krishna personally. But even if we don't see Krishna personally, eyeball to eyeball, we should always feel that we're protected by the Lord in these so-called calamities. We experienced right here in 94 when the earthquake came. And the marble, there used to be a marble facade here instead of wood. It all came crashing down. So we should never feel that, first of all, there won't be any calamities in our individual life. But when they do come, we should simply take shelter of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions, comments? Prabhu? Alright, I got the point. He's asking about Daksha, that he's so powerful yet he cursed Narada and he disrespected Lord Shiva. So that just goes to show you that even on the highest level of material existence, one can commit offenses. It's so important to pray to Krishna to be able to avoid offenses, because we know what happened to him. By disrespecting Lord Shiva, he had his head removed forcibly and replaced with that of a goat's head. Just like we say in English, that, oh, you're trying to make a goat out of me, you know. So he was literally made a goat out of, you know. They put a goat's head on his body. So it's very, very important to learn from that to avoid committing offenses. Now, whether this was Krishna's desire, you know, Krishna is facilitating everyone's desire. Yes, without Krishna's sanction, nothing can happen. But at the same time, we can't blame Krishna. If you desire to become a drug addict and Krishna allows it, you can't blame Krishna. He's simply facilitating your desire. So obviously Daksha had some seed of desire to be offensive, and Krishna gave him the opportunity to be offensive and to suffer from reaction to that offense. We see even in the case of Parikshit, it's a little different. Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee. He was a pure devotee. So in his case, he was covered. That's very, very clear. He was covered so that he would offend the Shamaka Rishi and be cursed by Sringi, and therefore had to die in 7 days, which gave the opportunity for Shukadeva Goswami to come and speak Bhagavatam. So that's a different situation. Daksha was not in that same situation, I don't think. I don't think that Daksha was a pure soul, and then Krishna arranges just so he could get a goat's head to show every... No, I think his situation was a little different. If anybody else wants to comment on that, or if there are any other questions, we can take maybe one more question or comment.
Narad, when Narad comes to Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu says, this is due to my desire. So sometimes the curse some people, high personality, gave because of the Krishna's or Vishnu's desire. Narad curse is different.
Yeah, but again, Narad Muni is a pure devotee. It's a different situation. We have to see who the individuals are involved. It's not that if, you know, some non-devotee or some unified devotee curses somebody, then this is Krishna's desire. No. We have to see that. Krishna may facilitate. Just like in previous ages, the Brahmanas were so powerful that if a Brahmana would curse, curse would have to come to pass. Even we see in Sringi, he was an untrained neophyte Brahmana, but at still the beginning of Kali Yuga, when this happened, the Brahmanas were still so powerful that because he cursed Maharaj Pariksit to die, this was the case. Prabhupada did say that Maharaj Pariksit could have counteracted, being a pure devotee, he was powerful enough to counteract, but he allowed the curse to take place. But we should not think that every time there is a curse, it's Krishna's desire. No. When there's a pure devotee involved, Narad Muni, for instance, yes. Everything the pure devotees do, that's what makes them pure devotees. Everything they do is in line with Krishna's desire. Just like when Narada goes to Kamsa and says, tells him what's going to happen, and kind of pushes the action along, you may think, well, why is he doing this? He's a pure devotee. Why? But no. Everything that pure devotees do is what Krishna wants them to do. This is what makes them pure. And that's why I've always warned devotees that if you accept Srila Prabhupada as a pure devotee, then there's no scope for criticism of his activities after that. You can't say, yes, we think that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, but he made this mistake and that mistake and he should have done this and he didn't. No. Then you don't understand. Then you're putting yourself in line to be punished by Krishna by offending his pure devotee. If you accept that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, then there's no question of criticizing him. So there's no question of criticizing Narada Muni's activities, because as a pure devotee of the Lord, everything he does is what the Lord wants him to do. That's what makes them pure devotees. Whereas we're in the, most of us, I'm speaking for myself, are in the mixed states. So sometimes we're doing what Krishna wants us to do based on the order of the spiritual master, and other times we're doing our own thing. And we can't say that is Krishna's desire. We're doing something that we want to do, and Krishna may facilitate that. Okay, you want to be a this or that, or you want to go here or there, fine. But you can't say it's Krishna's desire. Krishna's desire can also change. Prabhupada gave the example once. He said, if you're massaging Krishna's left leg, that's very nice service. But if Krishna now indicates that he wants you to massage his right leg, and you become attached only to doing the left leg, then you're not pleasing Krishna. You may say, well, you know, Krishna wanted me and I'm doing... No. Doing what Krishna wants is what Krishna wants you to do at this moment. So at one moment he may want you to wash pots, at another moment he may want you to go out on Sankirtan, another moment he wants you to go to India or China or whatever. You have to do... And how do we know? That's why we need Guru. Again, if you've accepted the spiritual master as Krishna's representative, then whatever the spiritual master tells you to do, you have to do. If the spiritual master says, now you leave this country and go to that country, you have to do that. The spiritual master says, now I want you to manage a temple instead of going out and say, whatever he asks you to do or she asks you to do, you have to do. That is what it means to accept the spiritual master. That's why this bhakti yoga process, although it's simple, it's a very, very serious business. It's a very, very serious business. And it's so easy. Again, it's like walking on a razor's edge. Executing spiritual life is like walking on a razor's edge. Any little, and you can cut yourself and bleed. Therefore, it's so, so important to always take advice from those who are more advanced. Anyone who's serious about executing spiritual life seeks out the association of more advanced devotees so we can avoid making terrible mistakes. Rantarajshimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.